Recording back in session. This is the time and place scheduled for the informal interview of Megan Osima, DVM, in case number 2210. This matter will be heard by the board pursuant to authority given it in ARS 322234. Dr. Osima, please come forward to introduce yourself and your attorney if represented by counsel.
Dr. Megan Osima.
And David Stoll, appearing as legal counsel for Dr. Osima.
Thank you. Dr. Osima, you received a letter informing you of matters to be discussed today and the possible actions the board may take at this informal interview. As a reminder, those options include dismissal, issuing you a non-disciplinary letter of concern, censuring you and placing your license on probation, with terms that may include continuing education and practice restrictions. The board may also suspend your license for up to 30 days, assess a civil penalty, or refer this matter to a formal hearing. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. The board has read all the materials you've submitted. If you have any additional materials you would like to present to the board, please do so now.
We have no additional materials.
Thank you. This proceeding is being individually recorded. As a result, it is important that everyone speak loudly and clearly, and that only one person speaks at a time. We'll begin by asking the lead board member assigned this matter to give a brief summary of the case, and then you'll be given an opportunity to respond. Following your response, the board may wish to ask you some questions. If present, the complainant will also be given an opportunity to address the board. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during this interview, you may ask it through me. Dr. Nosley, would you please give us a brief summary of the case?
Okay, thank you. On August 6, 2021, Tony, a six-year-old male poodle mix, was presented to the respondent on emergency for a moderate to severe recurring cough. An exam and diagnostics were performed. Radiographs revealed cardiomegaly and a narrowing of the trachea. Blood work revealed no changes. After reviewing the findings of the complaint, butorphanol and Serenio were administered, and the dog was discharged with a written prescription for pimobendan and cough tests. The respondent also recommended pursuing an abdominal ultrasound to evaluate the liver and gallbladder and a cardiologist for possible heart disease. Complainant was expecting the respondent to return to the exam room with her recommendations, which would include referral to a cardiologist. Complainant was then advised that the respondent was busy and would email him later in the day. Complainant did not receive the information and corresponded via text message with the staff regarding his concerns on the following days. On August 10, 2021, dog was presented to the primary care veterinarian for a recheck and follow-up for the emergency visit.
Dr. Osima, at this time, I would like to swear you in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes.
We would now like to give you an opportunity to respond to the summary and present whatever information you believe is relevant.
Thank you. I was not present on February 16, 2022, when you reviewed the investigative committee's recommendation that this complaint be dismissed with no violation. I understand there may have been some questions concerning communications in this case, in particular communications between me and the front desk and me with the owner. As you all know, emergency veterinary facilities can be chaotic under normal circumstances. However, the level of activity and the periods of chaos in the ER have increased during this pandemic, and that is true for August 6, 2021, during this visit. While we were extremely busy on this day, I was not rushed, had plenty of time meeting with the owner, and remained confident that the quality of veterinary care for Tony was not compromised in any way. Unfortunately, the presenting complaint for Tony was moderate to severe coughing, and I focused my exam and diagnostics to address that concern. It is uncontroverted that the radiographs revealed signs of cardiomegaly and narrowing of the trachea. Unfortunately, in the current state of veterinary emergency medicine, we're not always able to meet in person with every pet owner, but that was not the situation in this case. I met with the owners personally twice. First during my examination of Tony, and again when I went over diagnostic results and made my treatment recommendations, where I gave verbal recommendations on next steps and my discharge instructions verbally. My recommendations included a referral to a veterinary cardiologist, Dr. Page at Valley Veterinary Cardiology, and a referral for possible abdominal ultrasound and recheck to address changes in liver enzymes. Apparently, this complaint was filed because the owner was upset that I did not meet with him again in the room a third time when the medications and prescriptions were given to him. I did not know how the owner got this impression that I would be meeting with him again since I had already given him my verbal discharge instructions and recommendations where we then finished our meeting. I was not informed by the owner that there were any additional questions at that time. The owners were told to wait for the prescriptions, one of which was being filed in-house. Once the in-house prescription was filled, the technician discussed the medications with the owner and discharged the patient. I was never told that the owners wanted to speak with me a third time by the technician, and we have no record whatsoever of the owners leaving that day with any unanswered questions or concerns. With regard to the text messages that the owner apparently sent to the practice after the visit, I first saw them when I got this complaint. The text messages were never forwarded to me, and I never received a message, email, or communication from the staff indicating that the owner wanted to speak to me. If I had, I would have responded to the message. I respond to these messages all the time and did not have any reason not to call him back on those preceding days. Also, it is important to note that the initial message texted that the owner received was an auto text message that was set up by the practice. They were not actually sent by staff. The continued communication that went on with the owner was with reception over the messaging application system used along with their medical record system. While messaging has been continued, I was never made aware of the questions from the owner. When reception had discussed with the owner that the doctor was made aware of the messages, I was not in the hospital that day and was not made aware of any messages on August 9th. Also, although I am and still only an intern at the practice, since this incident, I have worked with the practice manager to discuss ways in which we can improve client communications, and we've implemented the following protocols, such as when and with any communication directed towards doctor or staff member, there is a notification and memo directly sent to them through the medical record for medical record keeping system to keep record and notify staff members. Finally, to the extent there may have been shortcomings in staff communications, I think it is important to note that at the time of the visit, this was a brand new practice with new employees at this new facility that had only been open less than a month. Although as an intern, I do rotate to various facilities, I can say that over the past 6 months, the operations at the Gilbert Queen Creek Clinic are running much smoother than they were the first few weeks. I hope this clarifies some things about the information, and I'm available to answer any questions.
Thank you. We would now like to ask the board members if they have any questions for Dr. Buscema.
Just a few. After the discussion you had with the owners, when you came back into the room after the diagnostics were done, did they ask questions during that period of time?
They did.
And was it your intention to return to the room? Or was it just they needed to receive more information and you were able to see that that was done? Which?
I was unaware that there were any additional questions or information that they needed to receive. And I let them know I would be sending written discharge instructions as they verbally went over as well.
Okay. So why didn't they receive the information at the visit?
At the visit, when I went to send the written discharge instruction and medical record, there was an error in the way the email address was written. And so when I went to send the written record, they never received it.
Okay, but I guess my question was more along the lines, why didn't they get that information while they were there in the hospital?
I had not completed my record yet while they were there at the hospital.
So because it was very busy and you didn't have time to get that information to them before they left, basically, is that what you're saying?
Correct. I write my record through the day and email them once
so
complete.
You prepare it later than your intention was to email it to them.
Correct.
Were you aware that the owners were waiting in order to receive the information?
I was not made aware.
So you don't have an estimate of how long they were in there waiting for that information before they were told we're not going to have it for you today?
Correct.
So you didn't have any knowledge of that?
Okay.
And it was a typographical error in the email address?
Correct.
Okay. And nobody found out. They didn't get a message back. Hey, this email didn't go.
Through the communications with reception that he had, we had corrected the email address, and reception then did correct that and send my record to the owner.
So just briefly about the diagnosis in this case, are you aware that a follow-up radiograph was performed at the primary care and read by a radiologist in the report, no cardiac anything?
Yes.
Okay. And just to be clear, after the visit, because of the issues with communication, you really had no contact with him. You never had any other contact.
I did not.
Okay. That's all I have.
Any other board members have questions? Seeing none, we'll now hear from the complainant. And you're on the phone, correct? Will you please state your name for the record?
Yes, this is Dave Oyar.
Thank you. I'm going to swear you in now. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
And you are the complainant in this case, is that correct?
Yes, I am.
Thank you. We've read all the materials you provided, and you may address the board.
Thank you. Well, I reviewed my complaint that I submitted last night, and I believe it was complete and thorough and accurate. So I won't go over that again. I have to say that I had great difficulty hearing Dr. Bushima this morning, so forgive me if I am not aware of everything that she said. But my perspective on what happened that day was that Dr. Bushima was clearly professionally negligent, primarily with regard to communications. Now, whether that was due to a bad day, a busy day, poor systems in the clinic, or some deficit in her education, I have no way of knowing. But the fact is, there was a significant communication breakdown. We were left sitting in the room for over 2 hours waiting for her to return, which she had told us that she would, to answer further questions and further explain. That's the extent of it. My perspective is that while this represents professional negligence, I don't believe it rises to the level of malpractice. My hope is that this complaint and your process results in Dr. Bushima engaging some sincere reflection on what happened and taking whatever steps that it was required to ensure that it doesn't happen again. These kinds of behaviors can lead to malpractice and to dire professional consequences, and I'm thankful that they didn't in this case. My hope would be that this process and any action that the board might take would simply encourage that professional reflection and a change in behavior going forward. And that's all I'm really hoping for out of this process. Thank you.
Thank you. Do any board members have questions for the complaint?
Yes, I do. This is Dr. Moswell. During the time that the doctor was in the room explaining her findings, after she had done the diagnostics, did you feel that you, at that time, weren't able to ask any questions?
We were able to ask some questions. We didn't get all of our questions answered. I didn't have a chance to ask all of her questions because she had to leave to take care of something else. She said she'd be back to answer further questions, to give us more information. That didn't happen.
So you're saying you had more questions, but you weren't able to ask? Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay. Do you remember if there was any discussion about heart medication when she was in the room?
She told us that Tony would have to be on the medication for the rest of his life.
Okay. So while you were waiting in the exam room, you were expecting the doctor to return, not just to receive further information?
That's correct.
And just to be clear, you didn't hear anything from the doctor despite being told that the doctor would contact you. You never received anything.
That's correct. And further to that, we were told that she would email us information. And frankly, even had we received email, I don't feel that's an adequate professional communication because it's very difficult to have a discussion over email, as you certainly understand.
Okay, thank you. That's all I
have. I have a couple, at least one question. This is Dr. James, and you said that she kind of came in and started going over the results of the diagnostics and then got pulled away, left, and said that she'd come back, and it sounds like you waited quite some time. While you were waiting, did you ever alert staff that you were still waiting on her to come back?
Several times.
And what was their response?
She was busy.
But you felt like they knew that you were still there and still waiting?
Yes. Each time we contacted them, they said that as soon as she had an opportunity, she would come back. Until the final time when a staff member came in and said she would not be able to come back.
So the staff was expecting her to come back also. That's what it sounds.
Okay, and when they said that she would email you, did you indicate that you actually had questions that you would rather a phone call? I'm just trying to figure out how that conversation played out.
I think I said that I would like an opportunity to speak with her on the phone after I got the email, and if I had further questions.
Okay. And in the text exchange, you felt like that you had made that clear as well?
Yes.
I don't have any additional questions. Thank you.
Any other board members have questions for the complainant? Seeing none, we'll move on. Dr. Buscema, do you or your legal counsel have any additional remarks or questions you would like to ask?
I just have a few closing comments. According to Dr. Buscema, she was never informed that the owner had any unanswered questions or wanted to talk to her. Keep in mind, this was an emergency visit. She met with the owner twice during the appointment, first during the exam, and then again to go over the lab results and to discuss the treatment plan that included the medications she was prescribing. The owner just admitted that the doctor did explain the medications and explained that he would be on this medication the rest of his life. Dr. Buscema never said, "I'll be right back," or created any expectation that she would be back. As is customary in veterinary medicine, the task of dispensing the medications once the prescriptions are filled is delegated to a tech. There's nothing wrong with that. The tech in this case dispensed the medications, and to the extent the owner asked to speak to Dr. Buscema either during that meeting or in the subsequent phone calls or text messages, those messages were never conveyed to Dr. Buscema. You can't hold her responsible for not returning a phone message that was never given to her. If there were any shortcomings in communications, and I know we always say that most of these complaints are communication generated, but if there was a shortcoming in that regard, it was with the staff, and that's a premise issue. That's not something that you should discipline Dr. Buscema's license for. This complaint should be dismissed, as was the recommendation of the investigative committee. Do you now want to clarify or respond to them? Thank you.
Are there any more questions from board members? Seeing none, this concludes the portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. The board will now deliberate and decide what to do in this matter. And Dr. Mosley, you are the lead.
Okay, well, I really appreciate you coming in to shed more light on this situation. First time through, I had concerns about the cardiomegaly diagnosis, and then on further reflection and putting it in the context of what you were doing as an emergency clinician, we basically ended up here, the difference between a B1 and a B2 stage. I've probably made that mistake, and you also didn't have the opportunity as an emergency clinician to do a follow-up. I mean, a regular practice, you know, okay, I'm going to start with pimobendan and then we'll recheck, and you recheck, and the cough, things aren't better, and you say, hey, maybe I ought to look at an infection. You didn't have that opportunity. So I really don't have problems there. The communications, now from what you're explaining, largely revolved around staff, new clinic, new procedures. It sounds like you weren't aware of what was going on. And so at first it sounded like I'm too busy, and I'm not coming back. I'm done with you. I'm not getting that impression here today. So anybody else want to weigh in?
No, I mean, I appreciate the comments. I think the communication issues, it's different for a day practice than an emergency practice. I mean, people aren't sitting in emergency waiting for 5, 6, 7, 8 hours because nobody's doing anything. It's like, because there's multiple cases, there's multiple things going on. I'm trying to manage multiple different critical cases a lot of times. And going back and speaking to a client multiple times is just not possible in most cases. That's just not gonna happen in emergency. I personally have Indian healthcare, and the policies at that urgent care are I can be seen for one issue, and I can't ask any questions. So it's very common to have that emergency in urgent care setting, so we get on to the next case and deal with the next issue and cut down that wait time and see the critical things. So like I said, day practice can be a different story, but I mean, even then it can be very hard to sit and spend 45 minutes with 20 different patients every single day asking questions, and the questions are hard. That's what our technical staff is for. They're there to follow up with those things, and then we go on to the next case to make the diagnosis, to make the treatments, that kind of stuff. I understand that clients love to talk to the doctor. It's just not possible in this day and age anymore, unfortunately. So we do what we can. We try and mitigate things as much as we possibly can, but it has to be turned over to staff, and we can't just be there to answer questions constantly. I understand the frustrations. I have the same ones. It's not the job I signed up for originally, but in the last couple of years, things have changed drastically. So I understand it's unfortunate, but I don't see any violation here either.
I think that, I mean, this one definitely seems to be a communication issue. I think for me, the concern is this practice really had some faulty procedures with regards to informing the doctor that, one, you still have clients sitting in an exam room. One, it's tying up your exam room, so let's move on. But two, like, this, that is not a good experience for that client to sit there for hours upon hours waiting for a doctor to come back, and the staff still telling them, oh yeah, she'll be back, and then, like, they never show up. Like, that's just, that to me, that's almost baffling that that could occur in a practice. I mean, even in an emergency practice, because it seems like they would have gone to the doctor, and the doctor would have been like, I'm not getting to it today.
Yeah.
Let me call them, or let me do something later, right? Like, I could have seen that, but just to sit there for that length of time, mm-hmm. I think that's what probably spurred this complaint, is that they felt like somebody was going to come talk to them and they never got the answers. And then they send all these text messages, and yeah, it's through this messaging system, but if your clinic texts somebody, then you need to expect, unless you put in there, do not reply, like, you better expect that that opens that channel of communication, and then that information never got to them. So I feel for this owner, because I feel like they really did get some poor communication. I unfortunately don't feel like it, fortunately, I don't feel like it fell to the doctor. I think it fell to the clinic, but she's unfortunately the one that's here. But I do think the clinic, I mean, it sounds like they've already done some things, but I definitely feel like the clinic needs to step up their game. And the excuse of it's emergency does not take away the ability for us to explain to an owner what's going on their pet. Like, I get what we're dealing with, and I get the veterinary shortage, and I understand it, but you're charging a client for a service. They have to be able to ask those questions. This is a very slippery slope that I feel like we can't keep justifying we're busy. You know, no, you owe it to that client. You've charged them. If you can't do the whole case, then don't take them in.
No, I agree.
Just say no.
I agree, but we had the testimony that says that she did talk about the medication. She did explain what was going on, all those kind of stuff. Now, how many times do we have to go back into a room and speak to someone, I guess, to ask the question? If there's follow-up questions, that's what staff is for. But the
and I don't feel like she should have had to go back in. I think that the staff should have told the family that they're not going back in, right? Like, she's done. She's moved on. Like,
yeah.
But that's where I'm like, it's on the practice more than the doctor. But I still go back to this whole thing about not communicating with owners is going to cause you to be in front of this board way more than what we ever had before, because people, veterinarians in general, aren't communicating anymore. And I'm like, it's not a good way to practice.
No, but I also don't have another 6 hours every day to make every single phone call of someone wants to talk to me about.
Well,
I
mean,
haven't seen for 6 months.
But in my mind, if you can't hold up to the standard of care, then...
That's not the standard of care.
I think communicating with an owner is the standard of care. We're getting off the... I think it's the standard of care to communicate with the owner.
Yeah, for sure.
It's in there as professionally acceptable procedures and communication. So I actually disagree, but I feel like... if we're getting to the point that we feel like we can't communicate with owners, then we need to stop people from coming in the door. We're full. We don't have any more appointments. Okay. Sorry.
So the chair would entertain a motion, because we don't need to make up for somebody else's lack of communication by us over communicating right now.
No, but I don't want people to walk away thinking that the board's impression is that communication or lack thereof is okay, because that's not my impression.
No, it's not, because like you said, it's why 90% of what we hear is here because...
Yeah. I think we're all saying the same thing, even though we're making it an argument.
We're good at that.
So, I think it largely is a major problem in this instance with communication. I agree with Dr. Jane that I don't think it falls on the doctor, and I'm not sure that doing anything at this point would change that. I think she's well aware of the fact that there was a major communication problem. And so, certainly there's no violation here if we're done waiting at the motion. I think I'm going to make a motion to go ahead and dismiss this case with no violations.
Second.
A motion for and a second to dismiss case 2210. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, the roll call.
Dr. Broom?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James?
Aye.
Mr. Lohe?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
And Dr. Eisenhower, motion carries.
Board is voted to dismiss case 2210. This concludes this matter, and Dr. Buscema, you will receive written confirmation of the board's action shortly.
Thank you.
If you have any questions, please call the board's executive director, Victoria Whitmore, at the board's office. This concludes the informal interview. Thank you, everybody, for participating today.
You're welcome.